Okay, so this is part two of StopLine3.org that I got from Neighborhood Anarchist Collective. Stop Line 3. Line 3 is a pipeline going through from Canada through Minnesota to the Gulf of Mexico, ultimately to the Gulf of Mexico, with tar sands, another fossil fuel debacle, state-sponsored corporate fossil fuel debacle that is causing climate change and, of course, impacting Native Americans because no one else wants the Line 3 pipeline. So it ends up going through Native American land and a bunch of water, environmentally sensitive areas. So, and of course, and so this is with Representative Heather Keeler. Is the together with Keeler is a Zoom meeting that she has with other representatives from Minnesota, Athena Hollins, Senator Mary Kay Knesch, candidate Lee Griffin, Representative Jess Hansen, and Robert Pilot from North Roots Native Roots Radio, and Ogima Jinu Ikwe from Native Roots Radio. And you can go to www.leg.mn.gov/legislators and write the Minnesota legislators and tell them that you're against running a pipeline of fossil fuels, of an antiquated technology like fossil fuels, through a bunch of sensitive Native American water resources. And they're all talking to Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth. And I just want to say, again, rooftop solar, rooftop solar, rooftop solar. I can't say it enough, that we don't need centralized power plants and run. I don't need to pay for a line going from a centralized power plant in the desert or in Native American, usually in Native American lands, and water, across water, to give me electricity. I have plenty of surface area on my house to put a solar panel if you would just fund decentralized solar panels instead of centralized corporate solar farms and wind farms. So that's just a related issue. So yeah, again, if you want to speak out about this issue to the Minnesota legislators, you can go to www.leg.mn.gov/legislators. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. This is Talk is Cheap, where I give you stuff to do to stop state-sponsored corporatism at KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
I just want to thank everybody again for coming up and just, you know, again, just point out that it's kind of emblematic of the problem. Enbridge is the single largest energy consumer in the state of Minnesota. Should I say that one more time? Enbridge is the single largest energy consumer in the state of Minnesota. Their whole line in the United States and Canada is the equivalent of two nuclear power plants. My question is, what do you want to do, Minnesota? You want to produce energy to move tar sand sludge across your water, or do you want to transition to a better economy where we have renewable energy and local food, and we don't make everything overseas, we make it in Minnesota, and we're proud of it, and we have a lot of hemp? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Let's just do cool stuff and leave this last century stuff last century.
And I would like to respond to Athena's comments about legislators. And I'm so thankful and so encouraged by the caliber of the representatives, the state representatives that are going to be joining the House in January. When I was elected 4 years ago to the House of Representatives, we were elected in an incredibly dynamic group of new state legislators with a lot of energy and goals and things that we hoped to be able to create for the good of Minnesota. As a state legislator, we are tasked with keeping our constituents and our state safe. And this line three does not fall under keeping our economy safe, our environment safe, and our people safe, which, just makes common sense that we would not be supporting it. But Minnesota is changing. I think our representatives, both in the House and the Senate, are becoming more energized and not sitting back. A lot of the work that we do as legislators is educating each other within the two bodies, and it's also educating the public. And once you know, you can always use an excuse, I didn't know, I couldn't do anything, I didn't know. But once you know, you are morally and you are responsible for making positive change for all of Minnesota, not just your own district or your own constituency. And so I'm really excited and I'm really encouraged by these very active new representatives that are coming in. And I'm really excited to take what I learned from the House and move it over to the Senate.
Talking about, I want to bring on Rep-elect Kayla. You talk a lot about actually like the support that you've given unions and the work behind that. And like, what did you learn? And from your experience in MindFrame, like, I believe that we can make a transition in jobs. I work in higher ed. New majors that we talk about are environmental engineering. You know, how do we help the transition of our workers into a new field rather than keeping them stuck in where we're at? Like, what's some of that feedback that you have?
First of all, I just want to say thank you for inviting our group to come up and share in community. It was incredibly moving and transformative. I had quite a moment praying by the river and just seeing the hard work and the heart and emotion and love behind this work. In terms of what does this look like for union workers, first of all, the narrative that jobs in the environment are mutually exclusive is not only false, but it's intentional. Like you said, there's ways to battle that. I did do a little research. There are some Minnesota workers on this project, and the problem with sort of these types of jobs is they are always temporary. Building trades jobs are always temporary because once something is built, they're on to the next project. And it's the union's job to make sure their members always have work. And that's what I would want my union to do. My union is fighting for that right now as we're facing the consequences of this pandemic in the airline industry. That being said, I loved how Winona talked about there are all sorts of you know, pipelines that workers can work on in terms of like wastewater and other infrastructure projects. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have a really unique opportunity to talk about this as legislators, me with my labor experience and my environmental experience. I've worked at this intersection before. And I was reminded of my travels in Central and South America, where we saw these huge mining corporations or these huge pipeline corporations come through and just steal the land from the Afro-Colombians, from the indigenous communities, leaving folks that had never lived in a city, that had always lived on the land, and that was their whole life. They just took the land and put them in the city, and they had no skills for a new income. And it was backed by the state, right? It was government backed. And so to sort of take this trip up there and see this in my own state was really alarming to me. And while I will always support workers and their right to make a living, there has to be a better answer than this. And this is certainly a really good time to start having those hard conversations. Just real quick about why this is proceeding when it doesn't seem as if all of the legal pieces are in place. I don't quite understand. And so I think that's sort of a conversation and a question that many of us have that needs to kind of be addressed immediately.
Yay. See, like I said it before, I'll say it again. My incoming class is great. Mary, I know you think your incoming class was dynamic. My class won in a pandemic, and we are here ready to get things done. So I love that maybe if one thing we can do is that education piece. You know, I do believe that confused minds say no. You know, that people need all the information to make informed decisions. And if that's what we can do, you know, is allow people to learn. Winona doesn't know this yet, and I'm going to spin it on her right now, but like there has been some behind the scenes conversations that more of us want to invite her into conversations. And, you know, we want to make decisions with our communities. I don't think that I stand alone in the fact that I don't want to make decisions for people. I want to make decisions with people and with our communities that matter. So thank you all, RepElects, for being here. We're going to hide you for a second. But don't go anywhere. And I want to keep Mary on, and then I want to bring Robert Pilot and Emma on quickly. I know we're getting to the end of the time, but this I feel like this is just a really impactful show. But I want, Robert, if you can quickly talk to us about the education piece. I know that you started Native Roots Radio because of what was happening down in Standing Rock and the importance of sharing the entire message. Do you want to highlight just a little bit about, you know, why you started Native Roots Radio, the benefits you saw in that, and how now we're transitioning your voice and your platform to talk about what's happening at Line 3?
Beanie Gigi for having me on. What a great show. We started Native Roots Radio. It was a funny story. I went to a factory farm kind of talk. My wife was tabling there, and Wendy and AM 950 was right next to it, and it was right when Standing Rock was happening, and I think there was one national exposure and a little exposure happening in the Twin Cities. People were going to Standing Rock. So I would go there, and I would hear misinformation, and so I asked them, I pitched the idea to have a radio show to amplify Native voices, and it'll be 3 years that I've been on, and this week, starting the beginning of the year, we're going to be on 5 days a week. And the education part is the whole thing, because you heard the legislators here talking. They have no idea about Native Americans. They don't have any idea. I was listening to one of the legislators talk about what was happening in Africa and other countries. That's what happened to us. We were put in cities just a generation ago and expected to fly. Our lines being taken away. So to amplify, I'm just a conduit of people like Winona, Mary Kunish, yourself, to what's happening in Indian country. So I've been really proud to be able to amplify the voices, and it's really coming down to some important stuff. Not only are we going to be talking about Line 3, but we have PolyMet, and we have treaties. We have many issues that need to be amplified by our leaders here. So I just say, Pinigigi, Heather, for all the work you're doing, and Mary Kunish, who's on Native Roots Radio every week too, along with Winona LaDuke, and amplifying the voice and really what's going on Turtle Island. Not what we hear are these 15 second blurbs about Line 3 on the news, but really what's happening and how it's impacting everybody. And we as natives look 7 generations ahead, and it looks pretty bleak here if we can't stop things like this going through our backyard. There would have been no Native Roots Radio if the people in Bismarck would have let their pipeline go through their city, but the white people said, no, we want it to go through Standing Rock Reservation. And so, there's a lot of, what would happen if the pipeline was going through people's backyards in the Twin Cities here? There would be a different story. And it is a race thing, and I agree with Winona.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a whole other conversation just about how, our spirituality and our beliefs and the way that we utilize Mother Earth for our spiritual well-being just gets overlooked a lot. Winona, if you want to quickly share the story about the lodge, talk about like why we use the lodge and that there was just a stake put in the middle of it with no consideration for the fact that this is a spiritual space for our people and it's always been used in this capacity.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that, we go in our lodges. I'm a member of our Medea Wind Society. We go in there to pray and just to be there. And, my lodge is open. Our lodge is open. You can see the sky, And that's like a lot of different than a lot of how a lot of people think in their experience talk to God, right? A lot of times it's in a small space. And now we spend all our time looking at an iPhone or something. We don't even look up, but we don't even see the sky. So we're praying there and we have our lodge there. And then one day we come back to our lodge and there's a stake from the pipeline in the middle of the lodge, And I just thought, well, that's not really right. They didn't even know it was our lodge. They didn't recognize us. And, I feel like for 7 years, I've been trying to say, hey, we're here. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is where we pray. Hey, this is where we got the medicine. Hey, that's where the magical beings live. But the state of Minnesota, they just want to have the world to think that it's their way. And you know what is we got to build if we're going to have a multiracial society and a multiracial democracy, my spiritual freedom or my religious freedom is as valid as anyone else's, And how we think is our knowledge systems are as valid as the paradigm of the DNR, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. I just think that we need to change how things are done in Minnesota, and now is the time to do it. Tim's legacy doesn't want to be, this is like the Trump's wall of Minnesota, an unnecessary infrastructure project that causes a lot of conflict. And what we want is infrastructure that fixes things in Minnesota, not makes more messes. That's what I think.
Yeah, and I think it's important that we, that there's a respect for the partnership and the government-to-government relationship that we have with our tribes. We're just seeing like all the stuff that's happening up in Red Lake now with the pipeline and them going through, their tribal areas without any consultation. And so it is some of the things that we're asking questions about. One of the things that I know Robert uses his platform for and what I hope to use my platform for is to educate and is to follow up and ask tough questions, and try to get answers. It's one thing to ask a question and just kind of let it keep it moving. We have to work on getting answers and we have to work on having the courage to step up and really ask these questions. Mary's done a really good job on that. Another whole area of this that we haven't touched on and we won't touch on tonight, but we will in another show, is the murdered and missing Indigenous women movement and epidemic that's happening when it comes to man camps that people don't want to talk about. And the response is that, well, we don't have data for it. Well, like newsflash, we haven't had a data for murdered and missing Indigenous women like ever. And that's a problem. And so Mary, do you real quick just want to touch on that? And then that can kind of lead us in. We'll have another conversation about that more specifically in January. But, what are some concerns that you see just with that area?
Sure. So just to update folks, in 2019, we passed the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force. We finished it. We completed it in less than 15 months on less than $150,000. And the report came out on the 15th. You can go to the Minnesota Public Safety Department of Safety website, just Google MMIW Minnesota report, and you'll be able to see the 164-page report I am so proud of passing legislation for. But one of the consistent issues that we found in studying this, and I call it a pandemic, because it isn't just a temporary issue, it's not just local issue, it is a global issue, missing and murdered women. And people are very concerned about bringing in all these men, not to say that every man is going to be violent against women in the community, but it is proven that the violence and the murder and the rape and the abuse and the drug use and the alcohol use goes higher and higher and escalates when there are these camps of many men, especially in the extraction economy, where pipelines, mining, hunting, fishing, casinos, sporting events. We know that women become trafficked and women are brought in to be trafficked in these areas. And this is a real concern for many people in the communities that these men are housed in. And I think it's a legitimate problem, and I think it's certainly one that we have to keep a really close eye on.
When I talk to Emma behind the scenes about this, it's really merging a lot of her passion to do this work around getting this message out and really making sure that we play a valid role in creating knowledge and power for our next generation. So Emma, do you want to quickly just share a little bit, and then we'll wrap up the show from there?
Sure. Hi, bonjour, everyone. My name is Ogamogunu Ikwe. It means Golden Eagle Woman in Ojibwe. I am an enrolled member at the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. I first got involved with what is essentially making light and promoting what's happening in Minnesota when it comes to Enbridge about 7 years ago, when a family friend of ours, who I now call my uncle, informed my father about a pipeline that was placed by Enbridge in, I believe, the late 50s or early 60s on land that was actually ceded to the Red Lake Nation, and that pipeline was placed there without their permission. We had started a camp there, and we were able to keep it going for quite some time, but eventually, things fizzled out is the way that they did, but things like Standing Rock have gotten way more massive attention in the time since then. So what I'm hoping to see in Minnesota is this national attention that Standing Rock got, because this is a national issue, and I don't know that maybe people realize exactly how important Minnesota is when it comes to water, but we do carry the headwaters in the Mississippi River here. What we do in Minnesota affects everybody downriver. That is us from the Gulf, from here to the Gulf of Mexico. And the big things that I want to touch on from this conversation are what Athena said about the water fountains, that sometime when segregation was still a thing, people were arguing that there should be two water fountains because they maybe got paid more money because they installed those water fountains. We have to be shrewd in our decision making. And I am so proud to see so many Minnesota legislators come on here and be aware of those situations. And the other big part of this that I really want to touch on and just kind of echo as super important is that this is a Minnesota issue for all of Minnesota. And it's not in my backyard. As Minnesotans, we all talk to each other and we treat each other like neighbors. We're known for being nice to one another. If you can go look at your neighbor and say, well, I don't want that in my backyard, but it's fine. If you take that risk, we as a state really need to reassess our values, So I'm disappointed in line three and what's happening with line three, not necessarily because of the legislators or even Governor Walz, but because of my fellow Minnesotans have not stepped up to the plate and become part of this conversation. And many of them don't even yet know that this is happening. So I'm hoping to use my capacity with Native Roots Radio going forward to bring more attention to this issue and get more people involved and educated on what's really happening in Minnesota here.
I think that a lot of people just want to know, what can we do? We know what we can do and we know what we want to do, but Winona, what is something that if this is the first time somebody's hearing about Line 3 and they feel engaged and they want to do something, to the general public, what is, we'll put the website up, but what is something that Greater Minnesota, Minnesota, nationwide, Turtle Island can do to support this effort?
You know, one, you know, Governor, you know, Walz, I mean, we need a way to just have a stay so that we can have our day in court, because these pipelines, when scrutinized by the courts, do not stand up. Not a single one has gone ahead. You know, what we want is our day in court, so we want to stay. And more than that, we just want jobs that make sense. You know, we want a real economy in Minnesota where we don't have to destroy the environment. We want a Green New Deal. We want a just transition. Let's make it. Let's roll up our sleeves and make something better. You know, make something better for all. But, you know, I just thank y'all. Look at our literature, and then, you know, keep coming up and go see the pipeline in Bacchus. Go see the pipeline over there, you know, by Thief River Falls. Go take a look over by Plummer. It's all over our state. Be present for our state. Be present. Go see the Crow Wing, you know, all of them. Thank you so much, though, Miigwech. And follow us on honorearth.org and stop line three.
Yes. All of that. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. As always, I appreciate your passions. I appreciate your time. And I really believe that we make a change when we work together and we work collectively. So thank you all for being here. It was great seeing you. Tune in next week for Together with Heather. I'm really excited for our conversation next week. I think I'm really excited for all the conversations, but we're going to be talking about ICWA and foster care with our Indigenous babies. I am a licensed foster care mom. I really have a heart for that. And some of my very best friends in town do the same. And so we'll be talking about that. We'll be having some licensors on to talk about why it's important for our Indigenous kids to stay in Indigenous families and keep the culture and passion alive. So until next time, everybody, stay safe. Have a good holiday. But I know it's really, really hard, but have a safe holiday. You know, there are some standards that are in place for a reason. We want to do our very, very best to protect our entire community so that we can come back strong and together. So we'll see you all next time. Bye.
You've been listening to a Zoom meeting with from Together with Heather on stopline3.org. Line 3 is a tar sands pipeline. We need to stop these fossil fuel pipelines. It's stopline3.org. You can also go to www.leg.mn.gov/legislators if you want to tell the Minnesota legislators, the Republican legislators, that we don't need any more pipelines and that we need to fund rooftop solar instead of tar sands pipelines at www.leg.mn.gov/legislators. On KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio, also streaming online at kepw.org. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
Thank you. This one is perspective.
colors play.
We're sitting in the bath just before coming out. Sometimes I like to just let the plug out and stay still. And it's good to see that consumption is still a fatal disease. And this one is set in the one-way world of supermarkets. Well, Albert Einstein is taking the place of Colonel Sanders marketing eternal youth, and the motto of the family store, the friendly household store, is
have a wonderful day in a one-way world.
Good man out.
Have a wonderful day in our
chalk. I said, hey, scumbag, stepping on our lawn. He said, yeah, been selling off eternal youth. They all gotta pray, cause I'm the living proof. I need Einstein, you know time is a curve. I said, stop, old man, you gotta know. Cause there's only one rule that I use. Time is money, money I serve.
About a mother and a child living in an apartment block, and they took the quick way down out the window. This is called Home Sweet Home. Yeah. By the way, if you want to clap a little louder, you may get a chance to hear yourselves back, because this is going out on King Biscuit. Thank you. Now, suppose I tell you I was lying. Nothing really worked out right. Things got broke, they stayed that way. None of our friends came round at night. Little Sam got no place to play. We gotta get out of here, Bill, she said. I've been saying it all the while.
When I came home from work that night, she jumped out the window with our child in my home, sweet home, home, sweet home. Just a place to take a rest, just a place to make our nest. Down on the wheel on a 00, and I won. Oh yes, I won like I never won before. Found myself a country house with a carved door, antique door. It was home, sweet home.
So it seems like we got a little thing, little couple things going on here. Let's try and get Winona LaDuke on here, and let's talk a little bit about how this great celebration is
here we go.
Happening. And hey, wow, there they are. Hey, welcome, Winona. This is you're the genius behind all this and this great show that we're going to have here, and I want you and Tanya to say a few words. Could you hear us all the way up on the front lines of water protecting? Can you hear us okay?
We can. We're on the banks of the Mississippi River here, and nice to see you fine friends out there, and thanks for coming out, everybody, to see our Earth Day show for Honor the Earth and our Mother Earth Day show. And I'm glad to be here with my sister water protector.
Yeah, that's awesome. I just want to, we had a song by Liz Jackalas and her family as the intro, the water song, and how beautiful that was. And it was written by Doreen Day. And we were just so excited to be able to be part of this. And I just got chills, you know, with that song playing, Paul, that that we were doing something big here.
Well, I think we're doing something big, and I think we're doing something right. And, you know, I think it's something for the future, for our grandchildren and future generations. And so the music is just one inspiring aspect of being able to conduct yourself in a healthy way. And so we wanted to go to Tanya. Tanya, you want to introduce yourself, and then we're going to have Winona say a few words, okay? Tanya is an 1855 treaty host up at the Water Protectors Welcome Center there. And she is also a sugar-making expert and knows her medicine and spends a lot of times walking in the woods. I've run into her walking around in the woods. Tanya, take a few minutes and tell us about your location, your community, who you are, please.
Bonjour, bidwewe, gizagukwe, nindes nakaz, bakwa manomanika, manisanakwang, undunjaba, awasasi dudem, igawatishkung nindede, nigani mama. My name, English name, colonized name is Tanya Abed, and right now I'm residing at the Water Protector Welcome Center. Yeah! And we are on the shores of the Mississippi River. And since we are kind of like in between cultural sessions here, we just got done with our spring sugar bush making of sap, syrup, and sugar. And it was really a quite tasty treat to have. And I welcome all the water protectors that are wanting to come in based on line 3. And that's what we are doing. And we welcome all people that are wanting to put their bodies on the line out here. So, miigwech.
All right, miigwech, Tanya. And we're going to hand this over to Winona for a few words. We do have a lot of things coming up this evening for the guests. We've got several new, brand new songs, especially that brand new song On This Land Where We Belong, or the Pipeline Blues. But we want to go over to Winona LaDuke, who is standing in front of the famous teepee there at the Water Protectors Welcome Center.
This is the teepee. This teepee was out at there at first it was out there at the KXL pipeline in Washington, D.C., in 2014, this teepee 7 years on the front lines. And we took this teepee out there to oppose that Keystone XL pipeline, and this teepee went to Standing Rock. And this teepee's here now on the Mississippi River because we mean business. It's our teepee. And we're grateful to our friends who helped us put this together. But, you know, this is these times. These are some epic times. And we're really glad that people are joining us, watching the show. We're super grateful to all these musicians who have come out, poured their hearts out, their songs out. And I know Paul's going to be talking about and introducing a bunch of them, but you know Annie Humphrey, Chastity Brown, Corey Medina, Indigo Girls, you know, Jennifer Kreisberg, Sunny, all of you's in there, Joy Harjo, the Day Sisters, thank you, and Pure Faith, thank you so for coming out. But more to that, but listen, what I want to say is that you know, someone's got to be here for Mother Earth. Someone's got to be here for the water. I say we come for the water. And, you know, here we are at this moment in time, and it's the end of the tar sands era. And Enbridge wants to put a $9 billion tar sands pipeline in through the heartland. That's a dumb idea, man. And no pipelines are getting approved anywhere. None of them. The Jordan Cove pipeline, the Keystone XL pipeline, the Atlantic Coast pipeline, the Constitution pipeline, they're all gone. Why we got to have this one? Bad idea. You know, so... we're here for the water.
What inspires you, Winona? Tell people what inspires you to, I mean, you're spending in some cases 18-hour days doing things. Tell us quickly in a breath or two, what inspires you? Why do you do this?
Well, look where we live. The Creator gave us sugar from a tree and, rice and water you could drink. And everything around you is alive and there's swans flying around. You know, I work for them guys. You know, what a great place in the world to live. So I want everybody to, I want all these little beings to be able to continue on. And to do that, we got to stop some dumb stuff from happening. You know, but I like it where we live. Anishinaabe Aking, Aking, the land to which the people belong and the water we belong to, too.
I was just like, what the hell is this?
Anine Bujou, this is Joe with Native Earth Radio. I'm here with Tara Hushka, and she's going to give a little lowdown on what happened just now.
Houska, like a house.
Houska. Sorry, Houska.
No worries. Bujou, Ginawa, Jaboy, Kwe, Ndeshnikaz, Makwa, Ndutame, Gojishing, and Dunjaba. So we're here right next to the Mississippi River, which is just to the east of us. Today there was a direct action out on the drill pad that's being currently constructed to drill underneath the Mississippi River. So a bunch of brave folks went out and held space, and you know, we're told to leave, forcibly removed. There's also an ongoing tree sit. We're talking, this is a 8 days total up in the tree. So that's one of our good homies, a part of GNU Collective. Been doing a lot of direct actions on Line 3 for a long time. They brought in a cherry picker to remove them from the tree. Bunch of really brave folks went out, held space right at the base, and you know, there were quite a few people arrested today, and hopefully this type of mass arrest reaches the governor of Minnesota, reaches the lieutenant governor of Minnesota. They realize that they've got a serious problem on their hands, because they should have never approved Line 3 in the first place. It's a direct violation of the Anishinaabe people's rights to wild rice and to live and be well in this territory. So we're hoping it reaches him, but also that it reaches the Biden administration, the incoming Biden administration. We need something different. Expanding fossil fuels in the face of climate crisis. If COVID has taught us anything, it's that we need food and we need water to survive. What happens when those things break down? What happens when we continue to contaminate what we have left? So today was it's a beautiful day of resistance. It was also really, really hard to see our friends being carted off, but you know, they gave the water a voice today, and they gave the earth a voice today, so it was really powerful, and we always need more folks. Please visit stopline3.org. Please visit GNU Collective, North Fielders Against Line 3, Gitchigumi Scouts, Honor the Earth. There's so many great organizations to get involved. So just visit and find out more, and come and take a stand for our mother. I mean, we're talking about the Mississippi River, right? Tens of millions of people downstream. This is serious. It's not just this one tar sands pipeline. There's three proposed right now. So it's Trans Mountain, Keystone XL, and Line 3. And this is the one that's furthest along in the process. So we cripple this, and we're talking about crippling the tar sands industry. That's what's at stake for our future generations. So, Miigwech.
Thank you, Tara. I'll be going live later on today if anything happens. Keep on checking in with Native Roots Radio. Thank you, Miigwech. Have a great day.